Mini-episode 913 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at Sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late-night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to mini episode 913 of the FDH Lounge. I'm FDH managing partner Rick Morris here today with part two of our history of Guiding Light, America's longest running soap opera. In our estimation, there were five eras of the program in the final quarter century of the show that is the part remembered by most fans, and those are parts two through six of our series, following the preface, which is part one. Part seven is our list of the greatest characters of the modern era. For me personally, Guiding Light was a show that I grew to love, having been exposed to it by my mother. At least during its best times, it rose above the typical soap schlock that so often defines the genre, painting interesting and realistic stories about how characters related to one another. Thankfully, there's such a great amount of old episodes and of segments formatted into playlists on the internet, so this series is intended as our guide of what to expect as you navigate each era, and as food for thought for those who are fans. As we noted at the end of our last installment, we're calling this the revolution era of the show from 1983 to approximately 1990. Several new families came onto the canvas, supplanting the Bowers as the core unit, even as they continued to play a role. The Lewis family, first established in a small way with Josh and Trish in 1981, became vital to the show with Billy, HB, and the man briefly thought to be HB's son, Kyle. The Shane family exploded onto the scene, as did the Rainses, Chamberlains, and toward the end of these years, the Coopers, who would end up replacing the Reardons, who debuted in 1980 as the blue-collar anchor of the show. And the Spaulding family took on a very central prominence, with Alexandra and Alan both making celebrated returns in 1984 and 1986, respectively. For as much as people have long compared pro wrestling in the soap opera genre, often in a joking manner at pro wrestling's expense, there are several well-defined similarities in terms of storytelling, and the most prominent is the status of main event players. Two of the biggest main eventers in the history of Guiding Light came on the scene in 1983. Reva Shane, femme fatale of the Lewis clan, and Philip Spaulding returning as a high school senior after previously having a bit part as a child years ago. Each of the two would anchor the show's highest-profile super couples, Reva with Josh Lewis, and Philip with high school sweetheart Beth Raines. Of course, with the genre being what it is, obstacles would break up each couple each time, not long after reuniting, and as a matter of fact, Josh was the only one of those four never mistakenly presumed dead, as Beth and Philip were twice, as a matter of fact. Additionally, in a melding of representatives of some of the core families of the last quarter century of the show, Philip, Beth, Rick Bauer, and Mindy Lewis formed a close-knit friendship group that they nicknamed the Four Musketeers with the slogan, Blue Skies and Palomino Ponies. Previously on the canvas as a small child in the late 70s, Philip was the focus of one of the longest-held secret storylines in TV history. It had long since been established that Alan was not Philip's biological father, having purchased the son of Dr. and Mrs. Justin Marler when his own child perished at birth. From the beginning of Philip's reemergence on the canvas in 1983, the clock was ticking on the revelation of the secret and exploded spectacularly when Beth's vengeful stepfather Bradley Raines sprung it on him. The revolution of 83 changed so much about the show overnight, as the restrained and dignified, sometimes overly so, style of filming and scripting the characters gave way to a looser and more relaxed style of storytelling. At the same time, largely influenced by the likes of Dallas and Dynasty in prime time, corporate intrigue came to the forefront like never before, with jousting between the Lewises and Spauldings and even within the Spaulding family, with Alex, Alan, and Philip all competing to lead the gargantuan family business. There were some excesses in this era, to be sure, such as magician Simon Hall, who tried to scheme his way into a Spaulding identity, or the fast-moving revolving door in Reva's bedroom that HB, his son Josh, his faux son Kyle, and Alan all ended up occupying in a dizzying span of time. But it was fun and exciting, more or less creating a brand new show that was essentially a spin-off of everything that happened before 1983. Up next, we'll take a look at the years that followed, which were much more low-key and were without many of the show's most famous characters, but which produced surprising and outstanding quality. Thank you for tuning into this mini-episode of the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classics, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, The Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.